1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and David Garrard.
Do you see what you've done?
It threw me so off. I was like, no, that's the open music. Is ET not doing? Oh.
No, you've killed his spirit. You killed his spirit.
Man.
How can this be? I mean, this guy, Tony?
I told you, man, I was thinking all week. I'm like, after we get this dub, I already knew what sound I'm going to use. I know I can't wait to flex on Monday on this victory Monday. I can't wait. Man, no. Let's get to the show.
Straight to the show.
Straight to the show. What do you think about the Jaguars? Oh, my goodness. David Garrard, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right, Tony. Good? Everything good?
I'm working on counting to 11. You know?
In what aspect? To get the right amount of players on the field?
Yeah.
How many seconds it took for them to go three and out at the end of the first half?
That too.
Okay. Just wasn't sure. Couple of options there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Where to begin today? Good morning, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, and ET. We are here, and we'll show up. Look, Tony, we've been doing this for years. This is our seventh year at Jaguars Today. We've shown up last year. We're showing up this year.
Yes,
there's
we
no
are.
Doubt about yeah. it. But, man, could not be more of a gut punch. And I'm sorry. I get it. All right. You know, Houston, maybe they're better than we thought. Whatever. They are not going to win a lot of football games this year, in my opinion. I have reconfigured my assessment of the Jaguars win total.
Oh.
Seriously, I have. I mean, how can – look, I said really kind of felt six, but I bet the over, so I went with seven. It was the official tally last week. So that was counting on a sweep of Houston. And right, I mean, really was. I mean,
sure.
I thought we'd win this game, and then if they're coming here, we're going to beat them again. I got them at 3-14.
Yeah.
And I don't know where those three are coming from. I have no idea where they're coming from. Maybe they'll beat Houston the next time.
Oh,
but they
gosh.
Got beat down. They were down, what, 27 at one point, Dave?
It was ugly.
Oh, my
Just
gosh.
Just ugly.
And it started so well, right? Three and out. Here we go.
Here we go.
This is how we're going to treat this team.
That's,
all right. Mark
that's
Ingram
what you
got
do.
6 yards on first down. No big deal.
Yeah.
We stopped them on second and third. Here we go.
What happened when the Jaguars got the ball, though? What happened?
Well, they reverted back to 2020.
They did not conserve their
worse.
Timeouts.
It was worse, David. It was worse. They had an illegal formation on the first play of the game, which,
by the way, Tony.
They ran the play anyway, and he got knocked down at the line of scrimmage, right? Like, that was the first play of the game. So now it's first and 15, and they need a timeout to recover from having the penalty called on them on the first snap of the game. I mean, what the heck is going on?
I don't know. Do you know how many times before the first game of the season you go over like the first 15?
The script.
You make sure everybody's lined up. You even do it the night before in the hotel room. Hey, guys, move the chairs out of the way. Let's just go over a few of our opening plays so we can be ready to
the
roll.
The ballroom walkthrough.
Ballroom walkthrough. They must have not had it.
Or if they did, it didn't stick.
It
I mean,
didn't.
Like, honestly.
Maybe he was lined up wrong in the ballroom and nobody called him.
Maybe it was that, right? like they didn't have a ref in the ballroom to let him know. That's why those refs were out there at training camp practice. Look, it's gallows humor because it's all we have here, people. Look, I have envisioned a loss to the Texans? Yes, I could have. Could I have envisioned a non-competitive loss to the Texans?
You know what? That was my thing. I thought at least we're going to have a real-looking NFL football team that's going to compete back and forth with the Texans. You know, we should win, but if we don't, man, I'm sure it's going to be a close, tight game. And Trevor is going to look good. He did look pretty good for the most part. There were times where he was off. But when you're a rookie quarterback starting for your team, you want your receivers to make a few plays for you. You know, Chark, you had the ball behind you a little bit, but it hits you right in the arms. And he knows that's on him. But somebody make a play for your quarterback, and they did make some plays.
Like
but,
Brandon Cooks made down the field for the Texans.
You know, like just like those.
I mean, right. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, I
seriously.
Felt like Tyrod Taylor, a couple of, on those two big plays, basically threw it up for grabs and said, hey, you know what? What's the worst that can happen here? It gets picked off inside the 10-yard line, right?
Yep.
And instead – his guy made a play on the first one. I mean, Rayshon Jenkins, they wrestle for it, but it's always going to go to the offensive guy.
Yep.
And the second one, both defensive backs didn't have a clue where the ball was.
No.
And just, like, how can this happen? How do you give up? Like, you stop, hold them to a field goal, which at that point seemed like a major accomplishment, right?
Yeah,
The Texans were just moving. All right, we're going to get the ball back. I didn't have any problem with trying to be aggressive, Dave. This is why you got Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
So you don't have to sit back there like they did in a playoff game with Blake Bortles and just say, we're going to hand it off on 3rd and 6 and we're not even, and we're going to hope for the best, right? Yeah. We're going to go and we're going to be aggressive. But, man, 3 and out in 11 seconds and you give it back and you give up that play. At the end, and I mean that was the ball game right there.
I mean, you don't want your rookie quarterback throwing it 51 times either.
No.
You've got a pretty good running back there that can take some of the load off of him, but you're not even giving him a chance. I mean, it's 14-7, and you don't feel like it's 17-7. You're like, okay, we're still in this. Like, let's keep the game going, like as planned. Let's not get away from it and just start chucking the ball all over the field.
I don't even have an issue, Tony. Like, people are like, how does Carlos Hyde have more carries? Carlos Hyde ran well.
He looked good.
They both ran well.
So it's not a question of we're trying to play favorites with James Robinson versus Carlos Hyde. The running game in general, they had 14 carries between those two guys, and they averaged 5 yards a carry.
Yep.
I mean, the Texans continue to pound it out there. Mark Ingram carried it 26 times, 3.3 yards per carry. Phillip Lindsay had 3.1. David Johnson had 3.3.
Yeah.
Now, the overall numbers were a little bit better because Tyrod did what we said the Jags could not allow him to do. He broke containment. He ran the ball. And more importantly, he kept his eyes downfield enough, Dave, and made those plays after he escaped pressure. Ka'Lavon Chaisson has a kill shot lined up.
Man.
A kill shot. But you've got to understand,
right?
On the same play. Right? But you've got to understand that how slippery this guy is.
Yeah.
It's not as important to blow him up as it is to make sure you wrap him up. And Tyrod just ducked right under him, and then like the second one, he got away from him, but he's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
And it looked bad.
He's just moving, so he's trying to move so fast. He doesn't slow himself down and just get there and make the play. His feet are like almost like a cartoon where they're just sliding up underneath him. There were so many things. And I think I'm going to go back to the quarterback play just because I love, of course, talking about the quarterback play. I think Trevor also has those opportunities to make slippery plays, to get out of the pocket, to use his legs. You know, when you're making certain mistakes and the ball's not quite always there, you have the athleticism to still go move the chains for us by getting out of the pocket. And then when you do get out of the pocket, things break down. Guys, start to come open. I like to see more of those kind of things. I'm not saying get away from what the coaches are teaching you, stay in the pocket. I love all that kind of stuff too. But you're an athlete. You can still make some plays.
In today's NFL, it's okay to do that.
Absolutely.
It's embraced. Right, and I get it. Look, Urban Meyer said last week, you don't want your number one pick doing a whole lot of designed runs. Number one overall, I get it. He is going to be a pocket guy more than not, but he does have the ability to move the chains. It felt like a couple of times yesterday, like it had been drilled into him. Like, take off, keep your eyes downfield. And as a general rule, that's fine. But when you're here in the heat of the moment, man, we saw him take off. I wonder, Tony, if it scared him a little bit, right? That run he had in the preseason when he got a little bit cartwheeled and crunched going for a first down, and you're thinking, man, sometimes you're going to need that in the regular season. I don't want to see him do it in the preseason, but you wonder if if they drilled into him, hey, protect yourself at all costs. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't get that sense watching it yesterday. I'm with you, David. Like, I wish he was willing to run a little bit more than he was. It's what Tyrod Taylor – I just wanted him to do what Tyrod Taylor was doing.
Exactly.
Right? Just get outside the pocket.
Yeah.
Extend the time that the defense has to defend you. Right? Like, that's all I wanted to see him do. They weren't doing much of that yesterday, and I was curious. So I went back and looked at week one last year against Indianapolis. James Robinson had 3 carries on an 8-play punt drive on the first drive of the season last year. He had 5 carries in the game yesterday, coming off a 1,400-yard season. Right, like, what are we doing?
It didn't look good. And like you were saying, it's not that we're saying don't play Hyde or they both when they handed the ball off. Sometimes I couldn't tell who had the ball until the commentator said, "Oh, that's Carlos Hyde on the run." They both looked just as good, fresh. There were holes. I thought, okay, we're gonna have a good run game today, but they didn't go back to it. They just went away from it.
They never it wasn't like a case of they were getting stuffed early and then they got these runs. You know, look, part of it is you get down that big.
Yeah.
Texans are like, go ahead. You want to run for five? Go ahead. You know, that's not going to make you come back and beat us. But they were effective. We don't know how effective they could have been in the first quarter because they just really didn't do it. They had a couple called back because of holds early on, and that, I think, I don't know what it did. You know, maybe, you know, in those circumstances, kind of put them behind the stick, so to speak, where they had to throw on those downs or those series or sequences, but you got to be more balanced than this.
We really didn't have any rhythm, so we couldn't continue to keep the drives alive so they could get more carries. We had some turnovers, and we had some three and outs, and then we had some big plays. We didn't have enough sustainability for the running backs to be able to go off.
All right, today we solicit your reaction. Monday's a big day for you to get in if you want to, and let us know how you feel about it and what's fixable and what has you worried at 641-1010. I will say this, E.T., you've crushed his spirit to a degree, Jags, but I would think it would be somewhat buoyed by the fact that Tyler Higbee saved his bacon, literal bacon, breakfast food,
my
bacon.
My boy Tyler Higbee.
E.T. who selected Gus Edwards, who got a zero last week. E.T. who selected Brandon Ayuk, who thought I was kidding when I said he was dealing with a hamstring injury.
I still don't trust you.
He still doesn't believe me, for that matter. They both got zeros. Still pulled enough out to welcome Taylor Dahl to the breakfast bowl. As she will be buying this Thursday with a very uninspiring performance. That's what you get for picking Ryan Tannehill and a Titan right out of the gates. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. I mean, at some point, you're forced to pick a Titan along the way. But right out of the gates, you had your choice of anyone, Taylor, and it served you right. So you will be serving us breakfast on Thursday. Cannot wait for that. All right, 641-1010. If you want to get in today, the question of the day is simply asking you what your reaction is. Well, you know. To what went down in Houston yesterday. Ugly, ugly, ugly. I have revised my total. I am less than half of where I was just last week, Tony. That's all it took. Down to three. 3-14.
It took 3 minutes into the game for you to revise that.
It probably took 20 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, because I was like, all right, you know, they're down, and then it came back. It's 14-7. We're going to settle this thing down. We're going to start getting some three and outs. And
it's that last minute of that half.
The last minute of the half. those 11 seconds plus.
17-7 turned into 27-7 pretty quick.
You're right. The last 15 – I think the Jags officially got it back with 59 seconds there, and 11 seconds later it was fourth down. And, you know, the rest is history, 0-1. And we'll talk about it with you for the next 2 hours, and we solicit your reaction as well. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9, at IME to the T.
Come on, somebody.
All right, there we go. Little rally from my guy. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
He dropped the throw. Fires middle of the field, caught by Chris Manhurst into the end zone, touchdown! Lawrence to Manhurst for the score, and Jacksonville is on the board!
Yeah, we put him in a bind, turned into the strong side with motion in the back out. They had zone coverage and just lost the seam. That was kind of the plan with that play. We really like it, and worked just the way we grew it up, so it was nice.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I did not have the steamroller getting into the end zone as the first career official touchdown recipient from a Trevor Lawrence aerial, but good for him. You know, wish he had more. You know, just had the one catch. That was it. That was the day for Chris Manhurst. Dave, as we went to break, you're like, man, we didn't even get to the defense. We got 2 hours.
We got two hours.
There's plenty.
I wanted to make sure it didn't slide through.
Who did you want to compliment on defense, yes. David?
Who did you have good things to say about?
You know, I'm still searching.
All right.
I'm going to watch the film for the third time, and I'll find somebody there.
All right. before we got loaded phone lines, we'll get to your reaction here momentarily. Just give me a thought on the offensive line yesterday.
Well, for me, playing when I played and, you know, I thought they played okay, other than penalties and that kind of stuff. I thought when they did have runs, there were holes for the running backs. And I thought in the pass game, their protection seemed to be fine too. Now, were their guys getting pushed back? But they were holding them off long enough for you to get the ball off. And I think that's, as a quarterback, you'd love to sit back there, a cup of coffee, and, you know, just deliver the ball left and right all over the place. But it's not like that. I thought they were suffice enough for Trevor to be able to get the ball off, to make throws, to make completions, to keep the drives moving. There's just times when, you know, the quarterback, he just didn't – he was not always on point like he normally is. We've seen him in college. We've seen him in the preseason. And I think that a lot of that is just the you know, the jitters of the first game. You would have hoped he would have got it out of his system after a few throws, maybe after the touchdown. But overall, for me, I thought the offensive line played pretty decent. If they can eliminate, you know, the penalties,
sure,
I think they'll be fine.
Right, the penalties are one thing. But I thought at the end of the day, he threw it 51 times and didn't get sacked.
Yeah.
And yet, were there some guys flying around him? Hey, welcome to quarterback play in the National Football League. Right? I mean, you're going to have to deal with some of that. Some of the penalties came in the run game as well. Yeah. So I didn't think the protection was as bad as
I don't think anybody needs to jump on the offensive line. That's basically what I'm saying. I think they played suffice enough to have an NFL quarterback go out and have a good day, but, you know, it didn't work.
Yeah, do think Trevor was what we hope will turn out to be uncharacteristically off target on some of it. We were talking about, like, what did he see on the Kirksey play? I heard some people talking this morning. You know, we listen to the radio broadcast, and then we see it on TV, but we don't hear what's being said on the television, or, you know, we don't necessarily get the same perspective. And somebody said, I heard on with Dan and Jeff this morning, that they thought he went over to Schottenheimer and indicated he thought LaViska was going to cut his route short there. Clearly he didn't.
Well, I can tell you, you're supposed to run that route, and if you draw it up, you're going underneath the linebacker. That's how you run it. You do not go over the top. But if it's drawn up where you're going over top of the linebacker, you can't think as a quarterback, oh, well, he's a little deep there. Maybe he's going to cut it short. You can't play those games. That's why you run it like you run it in practice. And if it's not the way it's supposed to look, get off of it and go somewhere else.
Or after years of playing together, you develop that rapport where, you know, that does come into play. Yeah. And that's when you get to next level football.
That is next level.
Let's win a game first. Let's get to Dominique on line one, checking in from Atlanta. Papi Domino, how are you? Good morning.
Man, Mike, save me, man. I was so upset yesterday. I almost had another accident and punched my wall again, but I didn't do it this time, I promise.
Save the property. We don't need any of that.
Save your knuckles, man. Yeah.
But I'm trying. I was trying so bad. I went to ABC, got a little bottle of Henny. I was like, all right, cool. First game. Let's go. Let's get it. Oh, my God. The amount of disappointment. And I'm not mad. I'm just extremely aggravated. Like, it looked like, I heard somebody say it yesterday, it's like the same faces in new places or however it went, but we got the same problems. I listened to Leon and Tony this morning, and I agree with both of them. That one sack stat line is not indicative of how actually bad, at least visually, how bad the O-line played yesterday. They was getting pressured, blitzed, all kind of different stuff, drop passes, and, like, I don't know what happened. Like, the instincts. I really think somebody told Trevor, bro, no matter what, don't run. Because he did not go anywhere. Defense giving up plays. It's like they never seen a bunch formation. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I'm in Atlanta right now because I had the DJ. So I went to this little bar, and it's all Falcons fans in there. But the one TV they had on was the Jazz game. They did it for me. There was a lot of people laying there betting. Cool. You don't know how many head shakes I got within the first 3 minutes of the game. Like, oh, my God. What happened to Herb? What happened here? But that was it, man. I'm just aggravated. That's all. I love y'all, man. Y'all help me out, though.
Right back at you, man. Hopefully better days ahead. Well, at least you weren't surrounded by a bunch of joyous Falcon fans, right?
Sure.
They got theirs yesterday as well.
Yes, they did.
So misery loves company, man. I don't know what to add to that, Dave. Let's get Brian on the north side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Three things that I noticed yesterday. Number one, the coaching is what disappointed me more than anything. It looked like they had no clue whatsoever on what they wanted to establish as far as the identity for the team. If I remember correctly, it looked like one series where they threw the same RPO bubble route to LaViska on the same series. It was just amazing, mind-blowing to me how bad that was. Number two was Caleb Vaughn, and I'm just trying to figure out which play looked worse to me in my memory? Was it him missing twice on kill shots, or was it Taven a couple years ago back in Dallas? Both of them just look absolutely lost. And then number three, just like you said, that was our best opportunity as far as the team that I had circled for a definite win. And looking at the schedule, knowing Von Miller's coming to town next week, Kyler and what he did to Tennessee, it's looking very scary, man. So I look forward to hopefully y'all giving me better perspective.
Talking you off the ledge a little bit here. First of all, forget Arizona, man. That offense is already humming. I you look at Denver and you're like, well, they're not going to have Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. Cortland Sutton's not in midseason form. You can convince yourself that this could be, you know, Bradley Chubb didn't play this week either. But we'll worry about Denver later in the week.
Welcome back Von Miller with a couple of sacks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Whitney Merciless, you highlighted it last week. Tony's been a Jag killer. Von Miller's at everyone.
He got one late. Yeah,
he did.
Well, at least I thought Josh Allen was going to go off. He got his sack and I was like, okay, he's going to get three more today. And
no, that would have been Chandler Jones who got five yesterday.
I thought he was at the end of it. That's what they were telling me when Chandler wants to be traded. Did you see what he did last season? Who wants to trade for this guy?
pretty sure we did this offseason. But anyway, putting that aside, I'll say this about Ka'Lavon Chaisson. Okay, he missed the shots.
He showed up.
He did flash, right? And he did get there. So you can look at that as encouraging. We're trying to find reasons to be encouraged here, and it's not easy. The very first point, though. Now, after addressing the latter two, for a coach in Urban Meyer who is so attention to detail, I mean, that's his MO, right?
Yeah.
That's his reputation. Like, everything is there's nothing left to chance whatsoever.
Yep.
Like, did we need a guy in a bullhorn out there yelling, hey, get lined up properly? I mean, because that's what you have in practice. I'm being facetious, but
hydrate.
I don't know what – I mean, how can you be as sloppy – penalty filled, can't line up properly, too many guys in the huddle. How can this happen, Dave, in the opener? Especially, you have an extra week to prepare. Not that in the past when you had that fourth preseason game, you weren't looking ahead to your regular season opener, but you had two full weeks to game plan at a minimum to get ready for this game and to show up like that. How do you explain something like that?
I don't know how you explain it, because even though he's a rookie – head coach in the NFL, there's other coaches on the coaching staff that have been in the NFL for years. So they even know how to make things happen. You should not look that sloppy in an NFL game. I told you I was listening to you guys after the game yesterday, and one of your callers said, why do I turn on the TV and watch other teams? They'll make some of the same mistakes we make, but, man, they just look so much more crisp and sharp and – when they do the things right, you can see, and it just, man, the whole game just flows. But when you watch ours, it seems like the defense is a little disinterested, and nobody's flying around. And where's that one guy that just stands? Like, I was waiting for Miles Jack, and he had a few plays where you're like, yeah, there we go. But then you don't see it for a whole nother two or three quarters, and you're like, why are our guys never shining where you're like, wow, look how we're flying around, man, look at that play, look at that hit. You know, it's really disheartening, because that's our team. That's who we got to watch all year. And if that's an example of what we're looking forward to this year, it's not a very good one.
Well, Miles runs hot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's always kind of been that guy anyway. I know a couple of years ago, 2019, when he was going to be the middle linebacker for the team in the 4-3, and opening game of the season, he got thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
Right? For throwing a punch. I mean, Miles has always been a guy that runs hot, and at the end of a game like that against Houston yesterday, like, if I was going to nominate a guy that I thought might lose it at the end of a game like that, it's Miles Jack.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the guy can make a bunch of plays, but the penalties that he gives up from time to time, it's just ridiculous.
You gotta, like, you're not, let's say you're Miles Jack and you knocked out every player on that field. What good? You're still getting blown out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know,
they're not worth any points.
This tough guy act, like, when you're getting your butt handed to you, you know, I'm sure there's chippiness and the mouth is running and it's a division game opening the season, but I don't know. You got to rise above.
Bust people up making plays, you know?
Yes. There you go.
We know you're capable.
Yeah.
Stick that face mask in their chest. Let's get KT on the north side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, KT.
Hey, what's good, fellas?
What's up, man?
Man, it was a lot to see, a lot we missed. But I felt like the offense, man, the offensive line, man, you got to get a line, man. You got to get a line. Too many offensive tackles are not on the line of scrimmage, caused a lot of flats. And also, man, the flats were wide open with the running back. I don't know why we didn't hit that. And on defense, man, the front and the back end work together, man. We left too many sacks on the field, missing the quarterback. He's either getting outran or getting juked. That killed us a lot yesterday.
All right, appreciate it, KT. Well, definitely it works together, the front and the back end. Just way too many occasions. I said this, you know, we've described our experience watching the game, Tony. We are watching the TV in the Jaguars broadcast studio down at the stadium, but we listen through the board to Frank's call, Frank and Tony and Jeff on the Jaguar Radio Network. So we're a little bit ahead of the TV broadcast. So we're, as the last play's wrapping up, kind of we're hearing the next one start. And Dave, how many times? I can't tell you. It would be like 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. And you're like, all right, get a stop here, get a stop. And Frank would be like, oh, there's a wide open receiver. And you're just like, before you even see it, you know it's coming. And it's like, how can it happen? How do all these other teams, is it scheme? Is it route running with these guys getting separation? I don't know. Can you describe to me why the Jags can't seem to get those simple plays when they convert those? I mean, look, they converted a nice 3rd and 17. Nice play. All right. I'm not saying they never convert a 3rd down, but my goodness, it just seems like their opponents have way too many layups in those circumstances.
Well, I mean, just look at the guy who just came off the street from cutting grass, Amendola. He was, you know, cutting grass at home.
He got signed 5 days ago.
Yeah. And so how does he lead the team in touchdowns and receptions? And now he's going to the Hall of Fame because of it.
We're trying to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Well, but they scheme him up. Did you see how on the one touchdown, the tight end comes in and rubs the linebacker and opening up that nice little underneath shallow for Amendola and just strolls right into the end zone? You can scheme guys open, but for some reason, it doesn't seem like we were running a lot of slants. And then when we had to go deep, we were going deep. But I think also for Trevor, like the caller was just saying, there were opportunities where he did have running backs in the flats. But when you're young and you feel like the game is getting away from you, you've now got to go win the game on every play. So you want to throw it deeper down the field. You can't hit checkdowns. You don't want to be checkdown Charlie. But a lot of times you hit those checkdowns, it brings those cornerbacks and those underneath defenders up a little bit, allowing you to hit those 7 routes behind them, hitting posts behind them. But those are things that he's going to learn as he goes. Like I said, I don't have any problems. I don't have any worries about Trevor. But, you know, everybody else has to pick up their play around him. Everybody's still talking about the offensive line. I think they were suffice enough for him to get the ball off and to make some plays. But when he was getting the ball off, if you remember, a lot of the times, even when he was having these tough throws, the DB was right there on the receiver. Now, he had opportunities where the receivers, if the ball was in a better position, they could have made some catches. But it's not like they were running wide open. He wasn't missing wide open guys.
All right, let me just get Bob in here. Maybe end this segment on a more positive note based on what I see up on the board right here. Bob in St. Mary's, Georgia. What's on your mind this morning, Bob?
Good morning. Yeah, terrible game. We looked horrible in every facet. But Jimmy Johnson went 1-15 with the Dallas Cowboys his first year. I'm not an Urban Meyer fan, but, you know, he's won everywhere he's gone. And so I've got to hold out hope that we can turn it around over the next couple of years. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Well, that's as positive as I think it's going to get this morning. I feel like we've had our 1-15, and I wouldn't like to have another one at any point soon. And look, I get Urban Meyer's won, but just because he's won in college doesn't guarantee his success in the pros. For every Jimmy Johnson, there are probably 10 guys. Now, there aren't many guys that were as successful as Jimmy Johnson and Urban Meyer in college, period. But for every whatever level, you have to be a successful college coach to get the opportunity to be a professional head coach. Mm-hmm. And a lot more of them don't make it or follow up on that college success. So, look, I hope for the best. I want them to win the next 16 in a row. That would be fantastic. Based on what I saw yesterday, can't can't get on board with anything close to a 500 record prediction.
I want them to have a great record, but that's not what this year for me is what I'm looking for. I want to see them competing and playing each week and getting better each week to where we can say this is a real team that has a great chance next year of going to the playoffs. I want to see a more crisp, a more detail-oriented football team that shines out there. They're having a tough time winning, but, man, they look good playing.
That is fair. I just didn't think they would start from this low a point, right? Like, yeah. I thought, like, hey, even if it would be a little bit of a, like, okay, you won, but yeah. It's the Texans. They're on their way to a terrible season, and we'll get a reality check next week. I expected to see better execution than I saw. So the starting point is a lot lower than I anticipated.
I can't imagine it'll be worse from that perspective against Denver. Doesn't mean I think they'll win, but from that perspective, I can't imagine it's worse.
So there, room for improvement right there, Tom.
Yeah, see, they started the bar really low.
6-4-1-10-10. We'll continue to take your reaction to the Jags' season-opening loss straight ahead on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Play fake, dropping is Trevor, stepping up, fires deep downfield, got a man out there, that ball is going to be caught for the touchdown, DJ Chark, a Chark attack, and Jacksonville is in the end zone.
Everything you need to know about the Jags, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Not as frequent as it needed to be, but DJ Chark is averaging 28.7 yards per catch this year. So
here we go.
That's like historic.
He can keep that up, he may lead the league.
Sure, he may. In yards per catch.
Yes.
Now, efficiency, however,
dear.
3 out of 12. Dave, before we get back to these lines, what did you see in that, you know, obviously Trevor peppered him with targets there. Was it a case of a bunch of different things not happening? How much do you think that Chark's absence from training camp, you know, a chance to build some chemistry, impacted the week one play?
Well, I think it impacted it a lot, you know, because even – if it was his knee or something like that, he could still be on the jugs machine, you know, catching balls, but it was his hands. And so he's able to run, but he's not able to catch any passes from him. I think it affected him a lot because now he's going to have to kind of work himself back into the flow of things, back into the, you know, the camaraderie with Trevor to be able to – Trevor to know those subtle nuances of how he runs his routes. And that may have been why he was, you know, off target to him some. But it will come. I think after that game, practice this week, second game, I think we'll see a little bit different. I'm hoping we'll see a little bit different from Chark because also he also needs to get more separation from the DBs. It just seemed like whenever the ball was thrown to him, the DB was right there. And this is the NFL, and they're going to be close. But there were a few times on the other side where they weren't that close to defense.
Pete Prisco has said this to me many times, that he understands Chark is fast, right? Yeah. He's a 4.3 guy, time speed, but he doesn't feel like he plays fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something you see?
You know, sometimes some receivers don't run their routes, you know, as fast as they possibly could because they're still trying to work on, you know, the little subtle nuances of the route. They're not just crisp route runners. And I think maybe he's one of those kind of guys where it's just not real crisp. He's not real sudden. You can be super fast. But if you're not sudden, where when you break in and you give that little head nod out, but you break in, the DB is just going to stay right there with you. So there's little things that help you get more open. And I think those are some of the things that he still needs to continue to work on.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 6-4-1-10-10. Jarrell checking in from Orlando this morning. Good morning, Jarrell.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, man. What's on your mind?
So a couple of points there. To David Garrard's point, I also agree with him. The offensive line did not play as bad as a lot of people think. Trevor had a good amount of time to get the ball out of his hands. Didn't really check it down as much as he needed to and kind of force some things. The point that I saw, we got out-coached. I don't know what the defense was doing as far as, like, with the bunch formations. The bunch formations, every time they lined up in bunch formations, we got killed like almost every play. So there's that. And then for whatever reason, I feel like the offensive coordinator we have now is doing the same thing that Jay Gruden did last year and not giving James Robinson enough touches. It's like if you want to help your quarterback, you got to be able to run the ball. So those are the comments I got, and I'll take it off the air.
Appreciate it, man. After one game, Daryl Bevel makes it seem like last year they rode James Robinson into the ground. You know, I mean, five carries is a big difference, Dave.
The bunches.
From an offensive perspective, it's a very effective
It's
formation.
Very effective because if you know a team is playing man coverage, they're going to play it two ways. They're either just going to lock on, which that's where the bunches, you can get rubs and guys picked is what was happening to our guys. Or you can just stay in your spots and play the guy that comes to you. And usually with that, you can play them off their leverage. So, you know, if the inside guy runs out, then that means the outside guy is taking him. But the outside guy runs up. Now he has a guy from the inside who's guarding him. If he just runs up and breaks out, he has leverage. So there's the bunch formation is a good formation to play against defenses. The one defense that it doesn't work against as much is just straight zone defense because no matter where you're running, there's always just a guy kind of around in that area.
You know, we got a tweet here from, see if I can find it. I don't know where it is. Here it is. Also, this is from Kevin. They needed to run some zone on defense. Texas just gave the book on how to beat that man scheme. Here's the thing. I have heard nothing but why the hell do we play this zone garbage for years now, right? I mean, how frustrating is it when it's third and seven and our DBs are playing 9 yards off? Yeah. Like, what are you doing, right? So at least you think with a man scheme, you're going to get up and press these guys and challenge them a little bit. There are positives and negatives to every scheme you run, and there are counters. And that's the thing. It just felt like the Jags were outcoached. There are ways to counter everything that you do on each side of the ball. It just seemed like the Texans were more prepared to throw things at the Jags that they could not counter.
You got to be able to go from a man coverage to, okay, we've got an audible to a zone. They're in a bunch, and we know that kills the defense that we're in. So if we can audible to a zone coverage, now that gives us a little bit better chance because they're in a bunch. They're not lined up out wide where we're playing off 10 yards and they're just going to run hitches or curls. So our defense, and I'm sure they have that in, they got to be able to have that kind of stuff in. But also, we've got to get more pressure on the quarterback to make him make errant throws so that we can now, you know, make plays on the ball.
All right, 6-4-1-10-10. We go back to the lines. Anthony in Long Island is next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Anthony.
How you guys doing? What a tough way to start the year.
No doubt.
You know, one thing, or a few things I really noticed was every year the quarterbacks are just getting better and better at avoiding sacks. And, you know, if you look at it from the Texans' point of view, it's almost as if Tyrod knows somebody's going to get there every time, and he waits and he makes his move. And now, once he makes his move and he's running away from the guy, he's faster than him most of the time. And you're really just buying a few extra seconds for the receivers to get open. So we almost look like, I felt like I was watching the 3-4 Jets for a few years now. They, you know, they'll get home, they can't tackle the quarterback, and then someone winds up being open. So you have that from the Texans, you know, from their point of view, and then you watch our offense, and we're committing holding penalties to the point where I would rather the guy just run free at my first round, a number one overall pick quarterback, and let him make a move. Because that's what happens to our guys when they're running free at the quarterback. But we're committing holding penalties, and we might as well just take the sack. It's like we kill every drive. So I'm throwing this week away. There's nothing else you can do. It's week one. You know, great teams lost last week. The Packers looked worse than us. So I'm throwing the week away, and I'm also going to tell you this. We signed Urban Meyer. What did everybody say in December? This guy wants to win. Urban Meyer is not going to sit with a terrible roster and just allow this to happen. He'll make some trades, and if he doesn't, then it's the same old Jaguars. But we have Urban Meyer. We got to stay optimistic. It's only week one, so we'll see.
All right. Well, look, you stay optimistic if you choose to. I mean, they've sat on over $30 million of cap space. They haven't made moves with that. You know, I don't expect them to fix a 1-15 team to make them into a playoff contender overnight.
No, I never expected it to look like that.
I expect them to be competitive against the likes of the Houston Texans, this year's version of the Houston Texans, Dave. The one point that Anthony made, a couple of things. A, I don't think Tyrod just sits there and goes, all right, let him get close to me, and then I'll make a miss, and then I'll outrun. You know, I think preferably they don't let him get anywhere near those guys or those guys get anywhere near him. And no, you're not going to just as soon take the sack. Look, I would first of all, block the guy, okay?
Quarterback wants a beautiful pocket.
Correct. If you can't block the guy, at least with a holding penalty, you get to replay the down, right? If you take the sack, so now it's second and 20 and as opposed to first and 20, and your quarterback got busted. So let's not talk nonsense here that might as well just let him through and let Trevor Lawrence deal with that. By the way, Trevor Lawrence is agile. He's mobile. He's not mobile like Tyrod Taylor. He's 6 foot six. He's a much bigger target back there.
Yeah, and Tyrod has been playing football for a long time now, and he's done a lot of that stuff like when I played. I mean, that's just stuff that we did in high school and college where you could use our legs. You know, guys would get close, and you would just make a miss at the last second. It's just something that you have skill built into you. I do believe Trevor has a little bit of that skill, but he also has been on very good teams since high school, and he's been able to stand in the pocket, make a lot of throws, and when he's had to scramble out, it's usually straight through the line or, you know, around outside. You've never really seen him have a Houdini-type moment where he's just, you know, make juking and guys are falling to their knees. So he's not that kind of guy, but I do believe he has enough athleticism to get out of the pocket, give his receivers more time, or take off and keep those chains moving.
Right. We're not talking about breaking ankles necessarily. No. We're talking about, hey, you know what, the right side opens up. I can pick up 7 to 9, 10 yards, whatever here. I'll do that on occasion.
I also think it's worth remarking about the fact that the Jaguars secondary never won on one of those 50-50 balls. Right? Yeah. Like, these are just, it's up in the air. Somebody go make a play on the ball. They never made the play on the ball. Right? Like, on plays that...
Even when he almost caught it.
Right.
The guy still caught it.
The guy still caught it. Like, every time that Houston did that yesterday, they got a big play out of it. And if they had dropped one of them, that changes things, right? Yeah. That's a 50-yard chunk of yardage at different points in the game that the Jags never got the ball away.
That last one in the first half was the kill shot, basically, because it set them up to take the big lead into halftime. And then, you know, even you felt like if you didn't come out and score a touchdown immediately in the second half, this game was well away. At least that's the way I felt at that point in time. You're on the line, stay right there. We'll get to you coming up here in the next segment at 6-4-1-10-10. We'll go around the NFL next with Tony Smith as well. David Garrard is here. Reaction Monday to the Jaguars' season-opening loss to the Houston Texans on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jacks Beach.
The New Orleans Saints and cornerback Marshon Lattimore have agreed to a 5-year contract extension that includes $68.3 million guaranteed and could be worth up to $100 million over the weekend. Lattimore has been a Pro Bowler in 3 of his first 4 years with the Saints. After being drafted 11th overall out of Ohio State, he had to have surgery on a thumb injury and is considered week to week at this point for the New Orleans Saints as well. Denver Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was carted off with what was described after the game as a high ankle sprain. X-rays were negative on the injury, but it seems unlikely that he'll be able to play here in week 2 in Jacksonville. Washington football team quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick is feared to have suffered a hip subluxation and will be undergoing further testing today to determine the extent of the injury and how long he will be out. Washington plays on Thursday night this week against the New York Giants. Seems very unlikely we're going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick in that one. Detroit fears that cornerback Jeff Okuda suffered a serious Achilles injury yesterday and will be out for the rest of the season. New York Jets left tackle Mekhi Becton suffered what Ian Rappaport reported to be an MCL sprain in their game yesterday in Carolina. Raheem Mostert left San Francisco's game yesterday early on with a knee injury, was unable to return. 49ers cornerback Jason Verrett suffered a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the 2021 season. And week 1 of the NFL regular season will wrap up tonight with Baltimore at Las Vegas at 8:15 on ESPN.
All right, thank you, Tony. Brutal. I mean, just every week it's the injury report, man. It's the facts of life in the National Football League. So from that standpoint, the Jags at least came out with, you know, their guys healthy for the most part and got to move on, and they've got 16 more to go, and we get all that. But we get to wallow in it for a day or so, and that's just the way it's going to be. Boy, you see Jeff Okuda getting the riot act read to him on the sideline?
Yeah. He got chewed.
Holy cow. Now, after that, I think it was his DB's coach, I'm assuming, right? They hugged it out, and you know they had a nice moment, but, I mean, he was not playing. It was like drill sergeant on the first day of basic training.
And he took it like a champ.
He did. I mean, he did. I mean, but he was like finger in his face. Da-da-da-da-da! It was brutal, man. But that's life in a big city, Dave. You ever been chewed out by a football coach?
Plenty of times.
I bet you have.
Plenty of times.
I bet you have. By the way, E.T., you did survive the Breakfast Bowl.
I sure did.
How did you feel about Taylor smacking you down, though, in Jaguars Today League number one?
I ain't got to buy her nothing, though.
Nah, that's true. So, you know, that's the. I don't know which one matters more, you know?
I think that Breakfast Bowl mattered to me just a little bit more.
I have the tiniest shot to go 3-0, but it's much more likely I go 1-2. I'm hoping for 2-1. Tony's
in
good shape.
I'm in really good shape to go 3-0. Yeah, I think it's Baltimore's defense needs to score less than 25, and I'll be 3-0.
I think you'll
week.
Probably you'll
or
probably
and
get
Lamar
that.
Jackson, I think I need
he has
two.
To play.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I need
you're
two
playing,
out of Lamar.
Play. Right, and you're playing and Cristiano, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And I didn't realize Tony had one guy left. I was looking at some of the scores last night, and Cristiano had you by like a half point.
Yeah.
And a pretty high scoring game like in the 140s, and I'm like, "Oh, that's a tough beat right there." Feel bad for you, Tony. Not really. But then I did not see he had Lamar, E.T. So yeah. I think Lamar will get him that point or so.
I think so.
All right, let's get back to the lines here as we go to Daniel next in Charlotte, North Carolina on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well. What's up?
First thing I want to say, guys, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in myself for watching all the hunt videos and every training camp video that came out and getting so excited just to lay an egg. So that part hurt a little. Like I said, I'm more disappointed in myself than anything. And last thing, I'll leave you guys with this. Tyson Campbell, turn your head around, make a play on the ball. Andrew Winger, get off the field. Mm. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
I got to believe Andre Cisco is going to be soon in that starting lineup, but
if not for just that one missed tackle alone in the hole right there, I mean, he didn't even touch him.
I know.
That's bad.
It's not the first time. Well, I think that's kind of my reaction, too. I'm just disappointed. I'm not.
Yeah.
There's no sense of being mad. I mean, it just – I thought it would be better. I thought it would look better, even if they lost, as we discussed earlier, right? Just be competitive. Wasn't competitive.
I think that's why I'm mad.
Okay.
Because – I thought they were going to be more competitive. I thought it was going to be different than what we've seen here in the past. And it looked like that and almost a little worse. The only thing that made me feel a little bit better is that Trevor was a one playing quarterback. That was the only thing that made me feel any different than how I felt the last few years.
Yeah.
And that's very, very disappointing and very, very upsetting.
The raw material is obviously there with Trevor Lawrence, right? Yeah. Let's not screw that raw material up now. Now, we go to Gainesville, Tony, where Byron is usually a font of positivity. Curious to see what we get this morning out of Mr. Duval West. What's up, Byron?
Oh, thank you guys for taking my call. And I'm saying it like always, come on, somebody. Duval!
We need that, Byron. We need a lot more of that around these parts right now. What are your reactions to yesterday's game?
Telling ET guys, I wasn't stationed in Jacksonville, Norfolk, but I'm a Navy guy. And, you know, I don't just go down with the ship. You know, we got to fight sometimes. So, you know, I almost called General Quarters, but I guess we was at high alert the way we looked yesterday. But, you know, I'm still on board the ship, man, and riding it. But, you know, guys, I just want to play Monday morning quarterback. Like, you guys have some great calls, so it's nothing to add to it. But David, if you want to comment, you know, I think he had maybe Fred and Maurice Jones-Drew. And, guys, we got to make sure, you know, James gets the ball and we run the ball more. And, you know, this for Trevor to be – he can't be the whole team and the whole offense. And, you know, we got to have more than just him. And I think other than that, guys, you know – like David was saying, he has to make some backyard plays and scramble. And I don't want him to get hurt. But, you know, you just got to be able to, you know, do some ad-libbing. And I think that's one of the greatest things about Gerard's game, if you want to comment on that, was, you know, making something happen where there wasn't nothing there. and, you know, utilizing the running game. And that's all I got, guys, what y'all been saying. And thanks for taking my call. Duval!
All right, Byron, those are in short supply this morning. what say you to what he had to say there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with him. I think moving forward, I see the coaching staff saying, okay, yeah, we've got to get the run game going more. We can't ask Trevor to throw the ball 51 times. And also, I think they're going to talk to him about, hey, use your legs a little bit. There's opportunities for you to get outside the pocket. Defenses hate that. I can tell you guys, defenses, one, I've had so many of them come up to me after the game and just say, gosh, we hate playing you. We got everybody locked up, and then you go scrambling around and you run up for 10 yards, and it's so deflating. But you keep doing what you're doing, man, because, oh, gosh, you just make me so – they hate it because they have everybody covered, but they're not accounting for the quarterback. And then if you can also scramble around a little bit and get your guys to get free, because DBs are great when it's in rhythm. But when things break down and your receivers turn a different way and one goes deep and one goes short, and they don't have a chance. Now it is backyard football, and now they're just – trying to hang on for dear life. So I would see those two things. More run game, and Trevor, try to use your athleticism a little bit more.
All right. Thank you, Byron. Byron just referenced Norfolk, right, a second ago. Mm-hmm. And here's Kyrie in Norfolk, Virginia, checking in on Jaguars today. Good morning, Kyrie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's on your mind?
I'm just a little – I hear what the fans are saying, but listen, my takeaway from that game is me sitting back. This team that we just played is supposed to be descending, and we're supposed to be ascending. And we just got beat down by a team that all of their storylines from the offseason was about a quarterback that it might as well have not mattered, because Tyrod Taylor looked like Deshaun Watson out there how he was playing. Another frustrating point is, for these guys, I listened to their post-game conference, and they're saying, hey, we just got to make the plays. We got to make the plays. But y'all say that every single – at the end of every game, and y'all never make the plays. It's like, Sharp, on that third down, dude, you got to make that catch. That was a pivotal moment in the game. You dropped it. It hit your hands. I don't care if it was behind you. And if your hands still hurting, you shouldn't have been playing. Caleb Bond, you got to make that tackle. Dude, you have to make that tackle. It's too pivotal. It's like, dude, how come every other team make these big plays that we swear to God that, oh, we're working hard to make, but we never make them? It's just too many times where we're just caught in a position where we just do not make plays. And on top of that, it's like, dude, these receivers, man, I believe in Trevor Lawrence. It's not him. I just question everything around him, and even with his coaching staff now, because they look clueless out there. And it was just no adjustment made, and that's really disheartening. And if they think it's going to get easier this week, they got another thing coming, man. And David Garrett, I just want to say, man, I'm a big fan of you also. Thank you for the great memories, and thank you for not folding like this team is doing constantly year in and year out. And I'll take y'all comments off of here.
All right, Kyrie. Appreciate it. Look, always nice to hear that with Dave. It's not fair to saddle this coaching staff with the history of what's happened here in Jacksonville. But I, as a fan, fairness doesn't come into play. Fans have sat here. This is now year 13 of a period in which you've had one winning record and one 500 record. You've been below 510 times. This will overwhelmingly likely be the 11th time in 13 years that you're under 500. And he's exactly right, guys. How many times do we hear, you know, it's not them, they didn't beat it, we beat ourselves. Well, when the hell are you going to stop beating yourselves and make these plays? And, you know, we just need to execute. Then do it. What is stopping you from the execution that you drill into, you know, your players practice after practice, Dave? That is the thing that I think a lot of Jaguar fans after that game or waking up this morning felt, that, man, how is this era, the new era, any different than anything we've seen in the last dozen years?
I don't know, because I woke up thinking the same thing. You know, it's at some point you just got to start looking at the players and saying, okay, clearly you can't make those plays. Clearly we've got to get somebody else, but you can't do it now. You know, you're kind of stuck with the guys you have. You can look around the league and see if there's anybody else, but usually those guys are out there for a reason, you know. So we just got to continue to keep the faith that these guys are going to get better each week, and they set the bar really low. So next week, hopefully the bar rises a little bit. That's the only thing I can look forward to, is to say, man, we look better this week.
I agree. Like, the ultimate goal of the season is to get better throughout the season and be in a position where you feel like Trevor Lawrence could be a special talent. We got to continue to support him, add some playmakers, add some more protection, add to it's the general talent level of this team. But, again, just the deflating aspect of it. I mean, if you're going to win some games this year, you would have figured this is one of the better opportunities you had. And to not even be in the ball game, that is the thing that is like, really? We're this far below a team that wasn't just us here on 1010XL. Everyone around the National Football League is looking at that team. They're selling off every vet that has any trade value, seemingly, or at least they're willing to. That's the reports, that they're open for business on everybody. They're dealing with this whole Deshaun Watson thing. They've got a coach that, frankly, nobody had heard of.
Nobody.
Nobody had heard of. And
weren't we favored in the game?
Yes. Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you're favored in a game that you basically get blown out in. That's the part that we've felt for years now, and we thought it was going to be different. And now we're like, oh, no.
Here's the thing. We won't have to worry about that. Pretty sure they're not going to be favored in any game going forward at this point. How could you?
I don't know.
Look at that after that. You know, not that that is the ultimate barometer of anything, but – again, those guys in Vegas are usually pretty smart.
If you're favored, the game's usually close, at least.
At least close, right? All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back, more of your reaction, and as we will do throughout the course of the season with David Garrard, solicit that reaction. What is it to the Jags' season opening loss to the Houston Texans? 6-4-1-10-10 will get you on board. Jaguars today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Dropping the throw, fires toward the back of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. With 5 seconds to play, he threw a touchdown pass to Marvin Jones Jr.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'll just say that touchdown to Marvin Jones might have been more important to some people than others. And that's all I'll say. They play 60 minutes for a reason.
Like Marvin's family?
Marvin's family.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Marvin's fantasy owners.
My ridiculous amount of Marvin Jones shares that I had this year. Ridiculous amount of Marvin Jones shares. My three top rostered receivers hit on 2 out of 3 of them. Tyrell Williams didn't do bupkis in a really high-scoring game. But Marvin Jones and Antonio Brown, you're in my good graces right now. But that's me. Let's move on. 6-4-1-10-10. Let's run through some of these here, and we'll come back. I want to try to get through some. We got so many reactions on social media today. We won't get to all of them, but I do want to take a few minutes to read through some of them coming up. Let's go to Tom in Ponte Vedra next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, first of all, I just want to show some respect for David Garrard. I think he's a class act, and appreciate what he's done for the community. In my opinion, it was the defense that lost this game for us. I mean, if we scored 35 points, we still would have lost. Our defensive coordinator got severely outcoached, and the guys gave up on plays. If you look at that play at the end of the first half, Griffin stops running with that receiver at about the 10-yard line after like 4 seconds. And then when Brooks starts to speed up and go across field, he can't catch up because he's already given up on the play. Well, you don't make the play because you gave up on the play. And our lineman just ran right by Tyrod. Instead of breaking down and containing, like you said earlier, they just rammed through for the big hit. I mean, when you play a quarterback like that, you're taught to just break down and try and contain. But overall, I didn't think the offense played really that bad. Trevor threw 2 bad picks, and that's kind of expected for a rookie in his first game. But other than that, he made some really nice throws, and at least 2 of those passes should have been caught. So So, you know, and I think the running game would have been there had the game been a little bit different and we not gotten so behind. But our defense really has not improved at all, and I'd just like to get your reaction on that.
Appreciate it. Dave, every time we go to break, you're like, we're not talking enough about this defense. Talk about this defense, Dave.
We're really not. You know, like he said, if the defense had played well, the game still would have been closer. But it just seemed like every time Houston got the ball, they were on the move. They were on the march. I remember a couple times I think we got a couple three and outs, but it wasn't many. Most of the time, they were up and down the field. And, yes, Shaq Griffin and those guys in the back end, they absolutely 100% got to play better. We also got to provide more pressure on the quarterback. And there were times we did, but – like he's saying, you've got to contain more than you got to shoot your wad on him. And those guys were just, man, they allowed him to do what he does best, and that's run around and make plays with his legs and then also keeping his eyes down the field and chucking the ball deep and our guys not being there to make a play on it. You know, it's a tough thing. We definitely have to play better on defense, and I'm not sure we can.
And, Tony, look, we talked about that 11-second three and out, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't mean you can't stop them, right?
No.
You give up that big play, and that goes from being a 13-point game where you're getting the ball first to begin the second half to a 20-point game where you're almost out of it if you don't score a touchdown right away. And the final numbers don't tell the story. We talked about it at halftime. Tyrod Taylor was on pace for over 450 yards
yep.
at the half.
Yep.
Tyrod freaking Taylor. I mean, I know he's been around the league for a while, but he's not that guy.
You had good reason to choke right there.
I did. I got choked up at the thought of we can't stop anyone.
No, can't stop anybody. And if you go and look at the total game stats, right, it doesn't tell the story.
No.
It just doesn't tell the story because you look at those stats and it's like, well, Houston only outgained them by 50 yards.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, like, it doesn't feel – it felt like 300, you know, while you were watching the game. They weren't close at times on defense. And in the second half of the game, Houston basically was just like, look, all we got to do is sit on the ball.
Yep.
You know, that's essentially what they were doing, which we've seen for 4 years. Here in Jacksonville, teams get the ball in the second half and, like, just play it out. Look, we don't have to make anything happen in this last 30 minutes. Just play it out. Keep the clock running. They're not going to score enough to beat us
today. We'll keep taking our 3.3 yards per carry.
Yeah, who cares?
And maybe we'll get a first down. Maybe we won't.
When they were playing offense, they were getting 350 yards.
Yes.
In a half.
When they were needing to play offense. Absolutely right. All right, let's go to Tony on the west side next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
All right, so here's the deal, man. Like, at the end of the first half, you know, I had the same feeling as pretty much all the rest of the Jaguar fans, you know, that here it is again, you know. And I think what we have to sit back and just look at is, you know, and I know it sounds cliche, but, dude, you got to give these guys time to put it together. I mean, this is a brand-new coaching staff, brand-new players on defense. They're implementing a new system. They're trying to, you know, take young guys and coach them up. They're trying to mesh it all together. One game is not the deciding factor here. You know, you got to sit back and have a little bit of patience. You know, from what we know about Urban Meyer, you know he wants to win. So he's not going to just be okay with this. And then another thing, you know, let's look at the bright side here. I've seen Trevor Lawrence make passes that we haven't even seen around here.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so everybody needs to just calm down. I think the excitement of the off season got us feeling like we're going to hit a couple of people in the nose. And trust me, there's nothing more that I want, so I'm not defending them. But I think you have to be a little bit more patient than this and give them some breaks so that they can try to put it all together. You know, this is the very first game that Trevor Lawrence and damn near the whole team and coaches have played together. You got to give a chance to mesh. And if they fix a couple of things in there, I know penalties killed a lot of drives and drops killed a lot of drives. If those things didn't happen, then you're talking about possibly a different outcome, you know? And so, you know, fumbles and interceptions, those things can be fixed. So when we turn the ball over three times, if those things get fixed along with the penalties and stuff,
I mean, we could have been competitive throughout the whole game there. But, you know, once we went down so much by, you know, with all the mistakes, it kind of took the air out of our sails. But, you know, next game, maybe we don't make those mistakes and then we'll be competitive or maybe win the game. So I think, you know, all the Jaguar fans, the media, they just need to calm down a little bit, you know, and let this thing play itself out. And then we'll have a better idea of what kind of team we're working with here.
All right, Tony, appreciate it. Look, except as we talked about earlier, how many years have we heard this? You know, if we just didn't make all these mistakes, all these bad plays, if you eliminated all those, we would have been competitive. Every team could say that who has ever lost any sporting competition. If we eliminate all the bad plays,
yeah.
Well, then eliminate the damn bad plays. Did the Texans not have a brand new coaching staff? Did they not lose their franchise quarterback this offseason?
They're making mistakes that when I see them on a Friday night, I'm sitting there going, what are they doing? Like, it's that kind
you
of stuff that they were doing on Sundays.
Less than a minute into the first drive of the season.
It just felt disorganized.
The Eagles have a new coaching staff, and I think the head coach is like 21 or something like that. And he's out. And look at how they played. The Jets have a new coaching staff and a new young quarterback, and they looked serviceable. They looked like an NFL team. They were competing with the Panthers.
And they lost two of their starting defensive players in like rapid succession with Carl Lawson, who was their big offseason signing. Then Jared Davis goes down. And you're right. They didn't win, but they were competitive.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I'm saying. We did not look competitive, and then we made a lot of bonehead mistakes starting the game.
Yeah, why? That's the thing. Why so many mistakes? Now, you can look at the Packers and go, man, they got blown out. They look terrible they as well, and they're a veteran team. Okay, great.
I got a little more confidence in the rest of
the season.
They
got a little bit of history, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers was literally the league MVP last year.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to figure it out and be a lot better going forward at some point in time. There's no evidence to suggest that this team is going to be able to fix all these mistakes, to have those as many mental errors as they did immediately to start a football game. When you preach attention to detail from the moment you get here, and when you're Urban Meyer and the coaching staff, it's incredible disappointment. So I don't blame any Jaguar fan who is just totally deflated coming off that game. Obviously, we want them to win. We're going to root for them to win going forward. But to sit here and just go, just let's eliminate the bad plays. Well, how are they going to go about doing that? And why were some of the – it's the mental errors. You're always going to have some bad plays. You're going to fumble the ball. You're going to throw a bad pass. But it's the – we can't line up properly.
Yeah.
We can't get the snap off on the second snap of the game. We have to call a timeout. Those kind of things, I didn't see that out of the Houston Texans yesterday.
No, but I can tell you this. Come next Sunday, I will be feeling good again for them, and I will be expecting to see a more competitive football team that will give themselves a chance to potentially win. They might not win, but they're going to be competitive enough to give themselves a chance to win.
Let's hope.
That's all I'm going to
All right, let's come back and put some final thoughts on this one and see if we can get a little bit more reaction as well on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, ET here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously sucks. Like, losing's always hard, especially when, you know, you feel like you're prepared and had a great week and really think we were ready and just obviously didn't play well. It starts with me. I played really bad tonight, so disappointing for sure. I still believe in this team. I still know what we're capable of, and we can't let this snowball. You know, we got to move on and go win next week. So
this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Don't let it snowball, okay? Don't go chasing snowball falls or anything like that. So I do feel bad every time I hear Trevor Lawrence talk. I'm like, there's the CEO. He's got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I didn't like that he said earlier. We just got to stick together. You don't want to hear that the first game of the
week
season.
Week one, baby.
Right? Like, it's coming apart at the seams.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
All right, E, why don't you fire up that 10-10 take?
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center. You're cared for by a team of experts working together on a treatment plan that's just for you.
We're going to do it like this. positivity. Give us one thing. You can't steal. Dave goes, can I get two? There aren't that many, Dave. You can't have them all. Okay.
I'll stick to one.
One thing that you feel, you know, give us a positive spin either for this upcoming game or the season or anything you like.
I think the run game. I know we didn't get to see much of it, but I believe if they can stick to it a little bit more in these upcoming games, especially next week, then it will be productive for our quarterback. And he will feel better passing the ball, getting more completions, and being more accurate because he knows he has a guy back there that he can hand the ball to. I think the offensive line was doing a good job opening up some holes for James Robinson. And he's just a good workhorse back, him and Carlos Hyde. So that's my one positive.
Okay, run game. Excellent. Tony Smith.
I'll avoid the quarterback for now. I'll leave it for you guys if you'd like it. As we said at the top of the show, part of the reason that today it's so frustrating is because so many of the mistakes they made are so correctable, right? They shouldn't happen. They shouldn't even occur in a game. Like, you shouldn't be lining up illegally multiple times in a game because your tackle isn't on the line of scrimmage. What are we doing? You shouldn't have to call a timeout before first and 15 at the beginning of the game because you panicked after you had an illegal formation. Like, these are things that shouldn't even be happening in an NFL game. So some of the mistakes are so correctable that it's laughable that they even happened in the first place. They should be gone week two.
All right, I was wondering, because this is Tony S. Positive Tony Smith, right here. Like, all right, so the some of those, I agree with you, should be very correctable.
Oh, if these are lingering things.
Again, it's not fair to this coaching staff, but it's the reality of what we've dealt with that we've heard this mantra. Oh, it's correctable. It's fixable. We know we beat ourselves. They didn't beat us. I've heard this so many times. I tune it out now. E.T.
Now that week four of preseason is done, we're coming to TIAA Bank Field.
Yes.
First home game of the season. Let's go, baby.
Yes. All right. Boy, give me a reason for positivity. I'll avoid the quarterback as well. And I will say this, that while the Texans can really dominated the flow of the game, right? When I look inside the numbers at the running backs, none of them average more than 3.3 yards a carry. Yes, Tyrod Taylor hurt you rushing the ball. You're not always going to play a quarterback like that. So I think they did a decent job. I mean, it took Mark Ingram 26 carries to get what he got, and he still didn't get 100 yards out of it. So there's some hope that the run defense can be improved against a more conventional straight-ahead attack. I'll say this. Teddy Bridgewater is not – Tyrod Taylor, but he's got a little bit of maneuverability. Don't think that he's just simply glued to the pocket, but he's much more of a pocket guy than Tyrod is, though.
Yeah, he definitely is.
So, all right.
You dug deep for that one.
I did. I did. I think we all had to dig a little bit deep here. I think we all feel that when you look at Trevor Lawrence, you can see the potential in this guy. And I do think that's the ultimate. And again, keep him healthy, continue his development. We knew that was going to be a part of it, but I thought along the way it will turn out that they will be more competitive, but this was not – if you're going to base it on week one and the quality of teams they have remaining on their schedule compared to where you thought the Houston Texans would be, it doesn't give you a whole lot of encouragement.
No, and unfortunately, you would wish the preseason they would have looked a little better in the preseason so you can say, but man, it looks so good in the preseason. I think it's going to come around. I think we're just kind of – Like E.T. said, preseason number four.
Yeah.
Out the book.
Just continued it. Right on.
Really did.
You know, we decided to play our guys the full 60 minutes, as it turned out.
I thought we were just going to play them into the half.
Hey,
but.
Right. Maybe a series in the third quarter. We'll see if that helps going forward. There's been a lot of this talk about it, right? Like, I heard people yesterday driving home, some national pundits saying, hey, you know, look at Aaron Rodgers. He, you know, they didn't play him in the preseason. Well, neither did the Rams. The Rams set all of their key guys in the preseason, and they came out and they looked
pretty
like you kind of expected
good.
Them to look last night. So, all right, let's see if we can get one more in or two. Justin in Los Angeles has been hanging on for a while. We appreciate that. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Tony. E.T., David. How you guys doing this morning?
We're well. How are you?
I'm trying to have a good morning, man. I look forward to this radio call or the radio show every Monday. I'm a big Jaguar fan from all the way from L.A. I'm sure you guys heard from me before. But, man, how do you guys feel about the receivers, man? I think that the receivers really let us down this past weekend, and Trevor Lawrence. They had the opportunity to make some big plays for him in some pivotal moments, some third down moments. And those guys just did not show up. Yeah, we got Marvin Jones, DJ Chark. Yeah, we got him back. But, you know, we were trying to look after guys like Michael Thomas in the offseason, things of those nature, guys that are possession, guys that can actually catch the ball. It seems like they were trying to look after guys that could really possession the ball. Yes, we need guys that go up top and to get over the top on these safeties. But, again, some guys like Brandon Cooks, who's tiny, who's not that fast. Yes, he does have some speed, but he had good hands. He ate us up this past weekend. You know, I think that was a big factor. And then the rush to the quarterback. We still don't have guys that are typically getting that rush to that quarterback. Why are we not still going after or trying to trade for a big-time defensive player? Yes, Shaquille Griffin, yeah, he can only do so much. Yes, and in the beginning, he was showing up in those first couple plays. But again, he can't stick with these receivers like that all game if these defenders are not getting any kind of rush on the quarterback.
All right, Justin,
and I just like to put my question out there.
All right, appreciate it. We got to jump in. Anything you want to pick out of what he had to say there to reflect on?
He just kind of summed up everything we've been talking about all day already.
Yep.
I mean, just we did not show up. And he was talking about the receivers. There were definitely opportunities. There were there for them to help their quarterback out. I think for Trevor, there were a few times where I did see him kind of throwing off his back foot and the ball was sailing high on him. I think those are things that he'll learn to be better at and know that the NFL game, man, you got to be pinpoint.
And that's the thing. Look, we all feel good, like, about the future of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I agree with him. He didn't have what I expect to be anywhere close to his best game yesterday. I thought he was from what I expect, that'll turn out to be uncharacteristically inaccurate.
We're going to learn to grow with him. Absolutely.
Let's go back in time 2 months and trade for Chandler Jones. That's what I took out of that phone call.
Wouldn't that be nice? Especially the way he dominated the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
What a difference a guy who can just beat his man and whip him all day long.
Do your job.
Can make for a football team. 5 sacks for Chandler Jones yesterday. Let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the rubber on the road with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Joe C's in the house. Joe.
Ooh.
Anything? We exhausted all the positivity we had in our bodies.
I was so fired up. I was so positive.
I was convinced they were going to win this game.
Oh, I guaranteed it, man.
I basically did as well.
Yeah, just the worst. And I think that, like, you guys have covered it, and we'll definitely cover it, but just a disorganized look, an unprepared look. The worst thing I think you can look like is you don't have an answer for what the other guys are doing. And David Culley was as much a mystery as a head coach as Urban Meyer was. But I came out of this, Culley schooled Cullen. That was one of the main takeaways that I had because he absolutely schooled him. And it was a New England-like offensive performance in a lot of ways, just using the running backs. And Tyrod Taylor, gosh, they made him look all pro.
Right.
They really did.
You know, he threw basically two
balls 228,
up for grabs.
Something like that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, he threw those two big plays, basically like, let's see what happens, you know, and – his guys made plays, and in one case, the Jags just couldn't find the ball. I mean, how you allow that completion with that little time left in the first half, and when you know they've got to take a big chunk play to get in position to even kick a field goal, is mind-boggling. So
it really is. Look, there's so many things that we can point to, which we will do. We'll get into it today. And then we got to look back. Florida State loses to Jacksonville State. How in the hay? And then I don't know about David when he proposed to his beautiful wife, but there was a Florida State Seminole that got on his knees and proposed after the loss. With Jacksonville State celebrating.
You gotta wait for a win.
Ring back in the pocket.
Yeah.
We'll handle this on Monday.
If you're waiting for a win, though, in Tallahassee, man, you might get old before it's time
wait
to get
for
hit.
Basketball season.
True story. All right, Joe, have a good show.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. Coming up, XL Primetime with the Leon Searcy, Matt Hayes, Joe Coward, Hacker Nation coming your way. Dave, enjoy having you in and your perspective on Monday. So hopefully, we can't blame it on you. Because it's been going this way for a long time.
I know. So. Trust me. I did not put a curse. And if I did, the curse has been lifted. Please play better.
I think the best perspective ET said, hey, preseason's over now. Let's get it. Home opener.
Here we go.
Denver. We'll check the tape with Jeff Loggeman tomorrow and try to find Tony a semblance of positivity as the week goes on.
I'll work on it.
Reason to be hopeful going forward. I'll tell you what. We'll enjoy the breakfast that Taylor Dahl provides for us on Thursday.
That's nice, yeah.
All right, that's where we'll start. All right, for Tony Smith, for ET, for our man David Garrard, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Today. Do appreciate all of you. We had so many tweets that we couldn't get to read. We do appreciate the feedback. The phone lines were just loaded today. We understand there's passion for Jaguar football, and we're hoping for your sake that that passion gets paid off with some victories sooner rather than later. So hang in there. We appreciate all of you very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Go Jacksonville.